In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the parable of the wicked vine dressers. So a man planted a vineyard. Who is this man? Who does this man represent? It represents God in the parable. And you know, this is a big honor for us that God represents himself by a man. That's a huge honor. And what's the vineyard? The vineyard is Israel. Israel. And who are the vine dressers? They are the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders. And then he said that this man went into a far country for a long time. Does it mean that God goes away and forget about his people? No, sure it doesn't. But it means that God respects the human freedom. He gave us freedom to do what we please to do. So he respects that freedom. And he doesn't interfere with our life unless if we ask him to come and help us. Otherwise, he leaves us free to do whatever we wish. And there is a photo about the parable. This is the vineyard, just to bring it close to home. And then he talked about three people that the man sent in order to bring fruits. So the first one, he sent a servant. Who this first one represents? The student of the Bible and the saints told us that each man represents something. So the first man represents the natural law, which is our conscience. So before even God gave us his laws and his commandments in the Mosaic law, he gave us a conscience. And you know what happened? Even with that conscience, we broke that conscience and we didn't listen to it. And that's what happened with Cain when he murdered Abel. And then, who is the second one? He sent a second one, sent another servant. This second one represents the Mosaic law. And even with the Mosaic law, it was broken. And the Jewish leaders just followed the letter rather than the spirit of the law. And you remember what happened to Moses when he went on the mountain to get the commandments from God. When he went down from the mountain, they already were worshiping a golden calf. So who is the third one? The third one represents the prophets. It represents the prophets. And even with the prophets, they didn't listen to them. And then he tells us that finally he had to send his only begotten son. And pay attention here, he says, Christ, this is the heir, come, let us kill him. So then they knew he is the Son of God, and they crucified him. So it was with their full knowledge. And he says also in the parable, they cast him out of the vineyard, and that's what happened to our Lord Christ. They took him out of outside Jerusalem, and he was crucified on the Golgotha, outside Jerusalem. But also, it means that they refuse Christ from their heart. So they put him outside their heart. And that's when we refuse Christ totally, we crucify him again and again. But you know, our Lord is so gracious, so merciful, so loving, that he gave us a chance after a chance to repent and come back to him. Like the prodigal son, he was waiting for him. And as soon as he saw him from far away, he ran to him. This is who is our loving Lord. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And one thing I want to point out here is, let's just follow the words of our Lord Christ. He said that he sent first one of his servants, and what did they do to him? They beat him. So that was the first step. They beat him and sent him empty-handed. The second one, they not only beat him, but they treated him shamefully. They treated him so bad. So you see the progression of sin. It gets worse by time. It gets worse. And then the third one, what did they do to him? They didn't only beat him and shamed him, but they wounded him. They wounded him and cast him out. And then finally, when he sent his only begotten son, what did they do to him? They killed him. You see how the sin progresses? Our Lord Christ tells us here that the sin, if we don't take care of it early on, it gets worse and worse and worse. Like one of our beloved fathers said that the sin is like weed in your yard. If you pick that weed early on, when it is so small, it's so easy to get it out of your yard. When you let the weed grow, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and maybe we need a chainsaw to cut it because it's so strong. So let's pay attention to, you know, when the sin is so little in our heart, we need to get it out right quickly so it will not grow and grow and grow. And then he told them what was written. Where was this written? The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is from the Psalm of David, the prophet, Psalm 118. The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Who is that stone? That stone represents our Lord Christ. Why did he choose stone to compare himself to? Because stone is made out of dust, sand. And we are created from the earth. And Christ took a body like us. So he compared himself to a stone. And that stone that was rejected by the Jews became the cornerstone of our faith. And also there is a prophecy in Daniel chapter 2. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands. Stone cut out without hands. And that's how the Lord Christ came from Saint Mary, by the Holy Spirit. It was cut out without hands. There was no human involvement in the birth of Christ. So a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay. What this image represent? It represents the evil or Satan. And it struck that image. Satan is like an image. You know, when demons were coming to fight with Saint Anthony, then he put the cross and make the sign of the cross, and they disappear. Just an image. And the stones that struck the image became a great mountain. The stone, which represents the Lord Christ, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. What a wonderful prophecy about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he continues by saying, whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder, to nothing. So what does that mean? Let's just take one sentence at a time. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken. The one who doesn't believe in Christ will be broken and loses his peace. So many people don't have any peace. Anyways, they may have all the wealth of the world, but they don't feel peace inside. I'm sure you hear from time to time about great actors or actresses, so much wealth, they have everything, and they end committing suicide because they have no peace. The Prince of Peace, our Prince of Peace is our Lord Christ. Peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you, not like the world. His peace is a very special peace. Cannot be replaced by something else. We need his peace. What about, but on whoever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Grind him to powder, meaning that this person will be finished, that he will not have share in eternal life in the kingdom of the Lord. And who will lose his salvation or lose getting to the kingdom of God? The people who keep fighting the Holy Spirit to their last breath. If we keep fighting the Holy Spirit, that make us repent to our last breath. This is what we call blasphemy on the Holy Spirit. And that's the sins that cannot be forgiven, because when could it be forgiven if the person doesn't repent to the last breath before their death? So whoever it falls, that stone, it will grind him to powder. Let's pray to the Lord to give us repentance every day in our life, so we'll have share in his kingdom and we'll live with him forever. Glory be to God forever. Amen.